Blog Talk Radio.
If your killer instincts are not clean and strong, you will hesitate at the moment of truth. You will not kill. You will become dead Marines. And then you will be in a world of shit. Because Marines are not allowed to die without permission. Do you maggots understand?
Sir! Yes, sir!
Podcasting live. Understand the times in which we live today. Of course, when we usually do an early broadcast or podcast like this, we usually try to reach out to our friendly politicians. So we'll be doing that here in about 3 or 4 minutes, and we're going to try to reach out, of course, to the West Coast because they should be still at work, but most likely they're not. The traitors that they are. That's exactly what they are, a bunch of traitors. And we're going to reach out to them, and we're going to call them out and ask them some questions here tonight. So stay tuned. Understand the times which we live today. 657-383-0616 is the number to call. If you got something you want to say, press number 1.
Thank you.
against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us. We the people are the driver. The government is the car. And we decide where it should go, and by what route, and how fast. Almost all the world's constitutions are documents in which governments tell the people what their privileges are. Our Constitution is a document in which we, the people, tell the government what it is allowed to do.
Yeah, that used to be how it was, but not anymore. Because we're going to find out right now. Let's see here. Let's call our first state representative office here. I got a question here concerning the World Health Organization has released a proposal backed by two major globalist organizations that serves as a blueprint for governments to implement a worldwide vaccine passport verification system. This document is called the Digital Documentation of COVID-19 Certificates, Vaccination Status, funded by none other than, guess who, everybody? Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation. Oh, yeah. Describes the technical guidance for governments to roll out the program to usher in a global digital ID in the name of COVID, of course. And I'm sure you all, when you're out and about today, you watch and see all these people wearing their masks and protecting, and everyone's just trying to do their job. You know, say, sir, please stand aside, please, sir. Put your mask on, sir. I'm just trying to do my job, sir. That's all I'm doing. She's just trying to do her job. You know, don't give her a hard time, right? You know, who cares? Hey, you know, why not? It's a good thing. Hey. This document lays out an approach for creating a signed digital version of a vaccination record for the COVID based on a core data set of a key information to be recorded and an approach for the digital signature. The document leverages existing free and open standards and is driven by the ethics. Use cases and requirements for digital documentation of the COVID-19 certificate's vaccination status. Wow, that sounds important. This document is therefore software agnostic and provides a starting point for member states to design, develop, and deploy DDCC-VS solution for national use in whichever format best suits their needs. Well, let's find out the QR code, you know, the 1D barcode, you know, stuff like that, you know. What am I talking about? I don't know. Maybe you should be paying attention. All right, let's call our first representative here and see what the hell they got to say about this. I want to find out. Is this true?
Thank you for calling Representative Blackman's office. This is Keisha speaking. How can I help you?
Yes, how you doing today? I got a question here for my representative. I was just wondering, I've been reading reports here about this this COVID digital card. It's called the Digital Documentation of COVID Certificates Vaccination Status. It's a presented by the World Health Organization. It has released a proposal and it's been backed by the Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation. And I was just wondering if my representative has any or has any ideas about this, or, you know, if this is a good thing to have a digital ID card or some kind of national or world global ID card to, you know, so we can identify the people that are infected, get from the variant Delta and whatnot. You know, there are many variants of the Delta COVID virus or whatever the heck they're calling it nowadays, you know. I'm just wondering how we could, how, you know, if my representative is backing this.
I have, this is the first that I heard about the World Health Organization doing having
a
card?
Yeah, the World Health Organization actually has released a proposal that's it's backed by two organizations, big, you know, for their blueprint for governments to implement a worldwide vaccine passport verification system. So it's a digital documentation thing where backed by the Rockefeller Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Okay. Can you send that information to Representative Blackmun in an email, and along with the questions you have in regards to it?
Yeah, sure. I sure can. And because it has to do with we have the QR code already here in the States, and the and they're coming out with the one-dimensional 1D barcode. Well, it's basically, you know, the QR stickers and whatnot. So we already have that, you know, on the West Coast here. So I was just wondering, you know, if this is something that they're trying to get to, maybe get a better national understanding or a world concept of, you know, the COVID crisis that's going on with the, you know, with the infection rate.
Right. Well, yeah, send all of that in the email, and I will alert him to the email.
Okay. Can you give me the email address, please? I just got your phone number. I don't have your email address.
Oh, that's fine. It's W. Blackmun. W. Blackmun at azleg.gov.
At gov. Okay. And but so far your office has not heard anything thus far as the implementation of this national or global digital ID card. Correct.
No, this is the first I've heard anything about it.
Oh, well, that's good news then. I'm glad. But, all right, well, it's out there, that's for sure. But I will certainly email that information to your office.
All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
All righty, bye.
All right, okay. All right, well, they don't know anything about it. I don't know. I guess maybe I should go on there and ask them, how about a quarter pounder on large fry? Yeah, McDonald's, you know, ask them a stupid question or something, you know, I mean, I don't know. We'll try another one here. What the hell was that damn number? I don't want to call back the same damn number. I didn't cross it over. Yeah, they get me distracted, these people, you know. But it's dumbness, you know. They know what's going. They know. They know exactly what they're doing because I said there's money appropriated for it already. If you look up that state senator's constituents and his record there, you go to the centralized annual financial report there, and you look and you go, you can Google it, and you go there, right, in that district, they got money going to the foundation, the Bill Gates Foundation. That doesn't say anything about the Rockefellers, but right here, yeah, they got money going there. So they know it, yeah. So she's just somebody that answers the phone, don't know what the hell I'm talking about, that's all. Because I'll never get a hold of my representative or their representative or another representative. But it's good to, you know, put this stuff out there because it just shows that they don't represent you. They don't care, and they will not represent your views or your interests. Once they're elected or selected by the Big Brother group or the good old boys club, once they're in there, that's it. They go off into this little fan club or this little bliss of the little political world, and their pockets get lined, and they get their back scratched, and you, the slave, will be working 80 hours a week talking about, can you lower my property taxes $3.95? That would really help. Yeah, that's about what it's all about. Or can you raise minimum wage to $15 an hour? You know, that's all they care about out there. You know, I mean... I want to be able to watch football this year. Is the NFL going to be not going to suspend games because of COVID, are they? You know, that's all that people, dumb slaves, care about. That's all. It's a fact. All right, let me try another one of these maggots. That's exactly what they are, maggots. All right, let's see here. All right, now this one here I have to type in, so give me a minute here. It's live podcasting here, so give me a break there. I see a couple messages already popping up. Just take it easy there, guys. Take it easy. I know. Your dumb phone's probably alerting you to open up a text message or something. So, you know, I know everyone's busy. Now, I don't know if that's a 7 or a 9. I can't. My handwriting sucks. So, all right, here we go. We'll try it anyway. Here we go. Let's see. 503. All right, here we go. Dial it up. Ring her up. Ring her up. Uh-oh. That's it. I'm blackballed. We pushed a button.
Welcome to DC Voice Messaging. Please press pound to access your mailbox.
No, that's it. They pushed the bat phone. They pushed a little red button under their desk. We got a guy down that's trying to look for answers. Yep, and that gets alerted all through all their offices. I'll go to another district. That's all. Maybe then we'll see if they can. All right. I don't know if I called that one or not, though. But see, I didn't cross that one out. But all right, we'll try this one here. This is another one. 541. This one is in Arizona. Arizona. Yeah, let's go to Arizona. We'll ask a border question. How about that? Arizona, they're tricky, man. They know how to pretty spoof their numbers and hide them so you can't get a hold of nobody. Oh, yeah. All right, let's see. They got to, you know, because they got that border crap going on down there. All right, here we go. Come on, ring. There we go. We got one out of three so far.
Sorry, the mailbox is full, and there is not enough space to leave a message. To send a message to another subscriber, enter...
No, I don't want to do that. All right, I guess we'll go with, let me get another number here, and we'll go with this route here. Let me see, 3069, did I do that one? No. All right, 30, let me write that one down. 30, we got one more here. We'll get them out there. This is Arizona. And we'll do a border question. And we'll throw them for a loop on the border. How about that? I haven't heard about that either. There's nobody coming over the border. What are you talking about? All right, here we go. Let's dial this one. Arizona. All right. Area code 602. All right. Blog Talk. They got the weird, you know, at least they let you do this, you know. I mean, you go to any other type of podcasting platform, they don't let you do this. So, let's see. 926. 926. Here we go. All right. And then 3064. All right. Here we go. All right. Sorry, guys. Live podcasting. Hey, man. Sorry. I believe that's the one I wanted. Let me just double check to make sure that's the right number. 3069. Let me see. 3069. No, I see. I put 4. Good. I'm glad I checked. All right. All right. Here we go. Let's try this one. Arizona. We're dialing down the border, south of the taco. All right. I'm going to start calling the Federal Reserve again.
Arizona House Representatives, this is Audrey. How can I help you?
Yes, I got two questions for you. One concerning the border, of course. I'm pretty sure you probably get a lot of those. But I got one here concerning the COVID. I read recently that the Bill Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation coming out with the it's called a digital documentation type of thing for COVID-19 certificates, vaccination status, and it's going to be like a digital card. I mean, what's the status on a digital card here in Arizona, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't think we've heard of any type of legislation or executive order for that.
Okay. All right. So for the variants, okay. Because I know California, they got the digital card, and a lot of other states do, but not here. Okay, that's good news. Now, as far as the border goes, how come when people are crossing over the border, they're not immediately screened for COVID, and they're not having to wear a mask as soon as they come over? I know as I'm watching people cross over on the news. I mean, I don't know if it's staged or not. I'm just trying to ask an honest question. But they're coming over the border. The Border Patrol agents are taking them in and whatnot and processing them, but they're not wearing masks. But yet we're told we got to wear masks. Why is that?
I think that's a question for the governor's office. That's who I
Oh, the governor?
You,
okay.
You direct that question to, yeah. Because the state representatives are not in session. It's interim, and session doesn't start until January. So if you're
so they're off until January then? The concerning the border, I mean, concerning the COVID border issues, basically? I mean, that's okay.
Yeah,
I'm just asking. What's that, ma'am?
I said that's pretty much a question for the governor. I suggest calling their
Okay. But they're in interim right now, my local representative, right? Okay, until January?
What's your address? Or what town?
Well, I don't want to give out my address, actually, on this phone right now because, I'm one of those guys, you know, that wear tinfoil hats that they worry about. I don't want to give out my address. But I'm here in Arizona, though. I can guarantee you that. I got a cell phone from California. I just wanted to know. So the digital vaccine cards, okay, and then my local representative's in interim until January.
Well,
do you know what legislation that is going to be like on the list first for my representative?
I'm sorry. Say it again.
You know what legislation is that they're going to be addressing first? My representative.
Well, I don't know who your representative is.
Well, your office. Do you represent me? I mean, I'm a taxpayer, and I'm just calling in, you know, to ask these questions about like what.
No, I'm not a representative.
Well, you're a staff member or an intern, right? Or
yeah,
a constituent,
I'm unable to identify who your representative without
I'm in Arizona. I can tell you that. I'm in the Phoenix area. I'm in the Phoenix area.
Okay, Phoenix is broken up into multiple representatives.
I know, and I can't find out who my real representative. That's the problem I'm running into, you see.
Yeah, that's why I need your address to help you identify who you
are. I don't want to give out my address. I don't want to be flashbanging tomorrow morning. You know what I mean? I'm sick of asking
these
tough questions. You know what I mean? I mean, no offense. I'm just saying. I mean, I wouldn't ask you for your address, you know, because you wouldn't give it to me.
Well,
you know what I mean?
The only way to help you identify who your representative is through your address.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
And my representative that I assist, our representative, Shaw and Representative Blackwater Nygren. So I don't know who you are referring to represent.
Jasmine Blackwater Nygren is actually, I believe that would be my proper representative.
He does not
represent
Phoenix
District 7, correct?
U.S. Congressional.
You're looking at a map of
U.S. Congressional District.
Who can figure any of this out nowadays? Don't you agree with that?
Every time
you figure it out, they change it. You know, kind of like you wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wear a mask, or don't wear a mask. In our district, though, in the district that we're in right now, that you're where I'm calling, is the mask policy in place or is that optional still?
Events. Each city has their own mask mandate, and then the governor is having his executive order. So I'm unable to help you if you don't want to share what town or what part of the city you say Phoenix, but Phoenix has multiple representatives that represent Phoenix, and legislative districts are drawn in them right down and across, crisscrossing Phoenix. So I don't know who your representative is.
But in all reality, though, all representatives represent the people of Arizona. I mean, just because if I drive over to your district doesn't mean somebody doesn't represent me anymore. You know, I'm a taxpayer for the state of Arizona, and who knows? Your office may run for governor one day, and you may need my support. You know, and then I'll say, well, no, you told me you only represent this little tiny little pocket of people.
If you want specific information that you're asking for, especially how each city are mandating masks and how they're approaching it.
Yeah.
I do need to help me specify what maybe the cross streets that is near your where you live to help you identify.
Well, if I'm in the Phoenix
area,
right? I'm in the Phoenix area, obviously if I drive over to Main Street and then I go to Elm Street over here, does that mean I can't wear my mask over here? And I'm sure it's kind of uniform for the entire city, right? Wouldn't you think?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm unable to help you because I don't know where where you live. So, I mean, if you don't want to share your address, you're welcome to go to the azleg.gov website and look up where your representatives are. And when you go to the map to find your legislator, unclick the U.S. Congressional District, and it'll help you identify what district your representative or what district you're in, and that will be your representing district. That's the only thing.
Well, what,
thing
see,
I
what
tell
I typed
right
in
now.
Was, right, it, well, what, Arizona, 30 state senators, right? And what I did was I said, what's my representative here? And through my Google search here, it brought me up to you. Your phone number was like one, and
no,
there was another one, too,
no,
that didn't
not
answer.
The same. It's not the same
well,
as the
yeah.
state legislative district office
well,
or state legislative office.
So if I'm on 20 East Ocha Street in the Tucson area, then that what would that be close
nope.
by? I mean what would that? I mean, if I gave you that
that's
address, would that be? What's that?
That's in Tucson.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying I own property up there. That's what I'm saying. So I have to pay taxes, you know. I'm just saying, but, you know, right
I
now I'm in the Phoenix
know.
Area. I own property here, too.
You're not helping me, being able to help me help you. Sorry. I'm just,
I know. I got it. I know. How
I
come
know.
It's so, like, how come it's like that today? Like, for, I mean, just off shoot, just like off the cuff, just let me just ask this question. How come it's like you have to obey policy, can you know, and you just can't, like, nobody just reaches out and says, hey, let me help you out. You know what? Let me answer your question. Be honest. And just, you know,
I am, you know what I mean?
I'm
able to share any information. I've asked, you know, I have even just a simple cross
yeah.
street nearby your apartment,
no,
your store, or your house. You don't want to share it, so I don't know, because I don't know
yeah.
what city, what part of the city. I don't know what part of the legislature. You know, I'm unable to.
Well, if I give you my zip code, would that help?
Information. Zip code.
If I give you my zip code.
Over legislative districts.
Oh Lord, boy, how
yeah.
they confused all that. Yeah, I know. You know, it's all confusing.
So,
I know,
like
but
I said,
my zip code
you're
is
welcome
eight.
To go
yeah.
to AZ, go to azleg.gov, and then. Go to type in find my legislator, and
yep.
it'll direct you to a site
well,
that will
I'll tell
allow
you what,
you
I'll just be honest
see...
with you. I'll be honest with you. I'm on 44th Street.
Okay.
So does that help you?
And where?
North 44th Street. North 44th Street. How's that?
44th Street goes straight up from South Phoenix, all the way into Phoenix, all the way into Paradise Valley, all the way to North Scottsdale.
Oh, Lord, so I got to give
so
you a number now.
so
my zip code is 85018, and my house number is 2148. All right? How's that? There you go. Now you got my address out of me. Now can you help me?
2148
yes.
North
yes, ma'am.
44th Street.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Phoenix, Arizona,
okay.
85018.
Okay.
That's my zip code.
You are in Legislative District 7.
That's what I thought. You see?
I mean 24, my apologies,
24. Oh, I'm in 24, jeez. All right, see, even you got a little, see, why'd you say 7 at first, though? Because you saw that first name pop up, huh?
That's the first, I just looked at the number, and I just.
Yeah, I know, I did too. I'm not going to lie to you, I did too. But, so can you have that phone number for me, by any chance, for that district?
I actually assist Representative Shaw, who represents that district.
Oh, okay. So then you can answer my questions then.
Well, you're in our Arcadia district, so I'm a little familiar with what their policies are. Not all businesses, and, you know, they require masks. Only specific businesses is what I'm aware of.
Yeah. And why the mask, though? I mean, what do you know why? Because the mask has been told, I mean, like 1 week it's like wear a mask, wear two masks, wear three masks, then the mask don't work, then it works. I mean, why not just, you know, I mean, if it, nobody really knows for sure, but they're taking a gamble and they're wanting to press upon us what they think it you know, what works. You know, I mean, so in a public event in our district right now, do I have to wear a mask? Is it an ordinance?
It depends where you go in the city.
So it's up to the private business owner, right?
Yeah.
Ah, good. Okay, that's what I was getting at.
The city's executive orders. So it just varies.
Yeah, I know. There's no executive order right now saying we have to wear one. It's really volunteer type of thing, right?
No, I don't know. I'm not gonna say yes or no. I don't know. I don't go everywhere in the state of Arizona. It's all different.
Yeah. But in our district, though, is it mandatory? Because I don't want to get a ticket. You know, I don't want to get in trouble. Hey, you're not wearing a mask, police pull me over. I don't know.
I don't think there's...
You know, I just want to make sure that if I walk into a business, I'm not offending anybody. I haven't been here that long. But I just don't want to offend anybody because, you know, I always was told when I was a kid that your constitutional rights don't stop when you enter a business. They don't, you know, they just don't get stopped at the doorway. You know, it's our right, you know, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You know, the Bill of Rights is there always, all the time. And I was just, that's the main focal point of what I'm trying to get at here, you know?
They all vary.
And
they
I just wanted to know if there was
each
an executive order.
Business varies. JCPenney's, I go to JCPenney's, they require a mask. They require
a
mask.
Wow.
Fry's, they don't. Not only those that want to wear a mask. There's it varies where you go.
Yeah. Well, that's
so
true. You're 100% accurate on that. Yeah, you're very accurate.
You
I mean, you're honest. Being honest
it,
with me,
no
at least
one's
going to
find
that.
You. So that's the lesson.
That's what I wanted
to
know.
Right
I didn't
want
to get fined. I mean, I work hard for those Federal Reserve notes. You know, I called a restaurant and I asked them if they accepted Federal Reserve notes. They didn't even know what a Federal Reserve note was. You know what a Federal Reserve note is, right?
I mean, each state has different policies, have different, you know, legislations and how they approach things differently. So it's not the same from California. So California is on a strict, you know, I know they are requiring masks.
You got to carry a card, a digital ID card there over there. They got that digital QR code that you have to have. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
it's
insane.
A question. Yeah, if you're not sure, I always suggest to go to the governor's executive order to what they put out. That's where a lot of the policies for the matter.
I agree 100% with you.
From,
now, but as far as our border situation goes, I know we're a little bit off the border here, but you know, my original question was, you know, how come we have to wear masks? Like you just said, some people enforce it, some we're a little bit skeptical and. How come they allow the I mean, you know, which I'm all for illegal immigration. I mean, I'm for people coming in legally and whatnot, but they don't wear masks. And it's like, why would you be, you know, during this pandemic, not just stop that? You know what I mean? I mean, wouldn't you be afraid of the, you know, common sense, I think.
That's a question for the governor's office.
Yeah. Well, I think it should be handled locally. I think the local district should handle that, though. I mean, in their little district there. But, well, I appreciate your time. I mean, you're very polite and kind. Just one question, though. The vaccine and the many different variants that are out there and the booster shots and whatnot, is my district recommending that we get the booster shot? Because some people told me get second and third booster shots. What do you think? I mean,
I don't know.
No
it's
opinion.
A personal choice.
Oh, personal choice. Okay.
I mean,
well, yeah,
I
agree. And I choose not to get any shot, to be
knowing.
Honest with you.
I've gotten vaccine when I was a kid, not knowing what's in there, so I'm still here.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
I don't know.
What the heck, man? You know, I mean, what the hell? Yeah, you're very smart and intelligent. Hey, you should run for governor.
No, thank you.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Hey, all right. Well, thank you for your time tonight. I really appreciate it. God bless.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye. All right, there you go, there you local representative. That's your local representative's office there. She couldn't answer nothing. I had to soften her up like a big smoothie there. I had to reel her in. Sometimes they hang up on you, you know. But her, I knew I had her hooked, you know. It's like, personal choice, you know. So what's really going on down there in Arizona? I don't know. So, but that's something else. All right, what do we got here for the phone calls? 657-383-0616. We just talked to Arizona there, and we talked to another one there. What was the other one? I forgot. Jeez. I think that was Oregon, up in Oregon. We talked up to them. They didn't really want to talk too long, but I forgot. I don't know. My mind's going a mile a minute. But let me tell you something. You see how they can't answer nothing? I mean, you just got, you know, it's like she just like, I mean, she was nice about everything, but it's like they just won't answer your damn questions. You know, it's a simple damn question, but they won't answer it. All right, callers, press the number one if you want to get on here. I'll go to the first caller right here. 323, you go first. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Joe? This is Shabaka St. Croix, the executive producer and host of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. First place, if I may ask, is this show uncensored tonight, Joe?
Well, it's uncensored, unscreened, yeah, but just kind of like, I don't want us to, you know, be dropping the F word every 5 seconds, you know what I mean, if you don't mind. Can we have a conversation,
well,
you know,
anyway,
like civilly?
Okay, well, anyway, the great state of California.
Yep.
The great state of California.
If that's what you want to call it.
First place. Yeah. First place, man, the damn place is on fire, okay? I'm currently out of California, number one. Lake Tahoe is on fire. Lassen County's on fire. Dixie's on fire. Let's just say, man, pretty much, you know, the northeastern part of the state. Okay, well, first place, as you know, the governor, Gavin Newsom, right there, in my opinion, belongs in jail. They're having a recall election there. The dude running against him, Larry Elders, who claims he's from South Central Los Angeles, he is an idiot. And, Mr. Elders, you are welcome to call in my podcast, and we will really let you have it of the crap that you
Two weeks ago, not to cut you off real quick, but 2 weeks ago I got the Long Beach, California Health Department on. You need to go back and listen to that 30-minute interview with that guy there. He just spilled the whole damn beans about everything about the vaccine and the vaccine passport.
Oh, yeah,
Lord.
Vaccine,
that guy put a foot in his mouth.
Scandemic. I'm of the opinion that it is nanotechnology, and from information that I've been getting is people have been scanning their QR codes off their cell phones by it, and a bunch of numbers are coming up. Now, let's look at something. Now, even in this warped part of the galaxy, 2 + 2 = 4, right? Okay.
That's common
sense, yes, sir. Okay. Now, you're administering vaccines that they don't know what the hell is in it. Number one, SARS, aborted fetuses, AIDS, God knows what else, toilet water, you know, could be in it for all I know. Then I've came across some information, you know, that in New Zealand, they had a death that resulted from an individual taking the vaccine. Okay. Number one. Two is... within the black community, you know, there's a lot of skepticism due to the Tuskegee experiment, as you know what that was about, because we've discussed
that.
Yeah,
I remember they started promoting that, too. You know what? I say this, right?
Right.
The black community, white community, I say this, right? These Jewish bankers, these Jewish elites, this Bill Gates Foundation, the evil bastard that he is,
right.
Those are people that need to go to jail. The Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Rothschilds.
Indeed.
And all these Jewish bastards that are controlling and poisoning us, poisoning our water, and doing their freaking pellet sprays and their geostrophic engineering crap up in the sky with their chemtrails, poisoning our soil, killing us, man, killing us.
Oh, yeah, indeed. And then there was a gentleman by the name of Dr. Mike Adams who did a lecture about 3 or 4 years ago talking about how the GMOs are systemically targeting, you know, black women as far as their reproductive makeup is concerned. In addition to with this vaccine, and you already know how I feel, I think it's systemic genocide against my people, number one. And in addition
listen, you fight for the black community. I respect that. That's fine. I fight for the, you know, if I say I fight for the white community, you respect that. You know, that's fine. I mean, listen, we need more people like you to stand up and fight. Because where the hell is everybody in the black community standing up there? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right. Now, keep in mind, is that with Elders coming out of L.A., okay, I've walked some of the same streets, have been jacked up by the murderous Los Angeles Police Department, and once again, you know, he's talking about, for all practical purposes, that racism no longer exists. Nothing could be further from the truth. But, however, what I do
So they attacked you, the LAPD attacked you, you said? They jumped on you, you said? The LAPD?
Well, the LAPD has put a gun to the back of my head, said, you move 1 inch, I'll blow your ass from here to Imperial Highway. Do you know how far Hollywood Boulevard is from Imperial Highway? Let's try like about
pretty
a minimum of 5 miles. Yeah. Now,
pretty far.
Okay. Now, with the hurricanes, is that what this is, off the research that I've done on my people's history from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago, I'm of the opinion it is the spirits of the African ancestors who were brutalized on the slave ships in the Caribbean, in New Orleans, Louisiana, that's coming through wrecking havoc. Now you got global warming. You got these
But why are the black communities being destroyed, though? But why are the black communities being destroyed then by the hurricane?
Well, see, that's just it, though. That's another thing we're going in on tonight. Quite naturally, of course, they're going to be the last ones that they're going to get the resources to, is because it's pretty bad down there. They got 100 degrees down there, 1,000% humidity, so it's quite uncomfortable. Then, not to mention the fact that is the perfect incubator, you know, for bacteria.
And I see the other callers waiting. Just be patient. I will get to you, okay? Go ahead, Shabak. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, and so, of course, you know, this is going to lead to more disease, you know what I'm saying, in addition to the scandemic, pandemic, plandemic, or whatever. And then also, too, from down there, if I got my facts right, on one of these rap artists who is from Louisiana, and they got him doing a jingle to go out here to go get vaxxed and what have you. Man, damn that vaccine, okay, it's because I've had loved ones who
are
taking it.
Well, we're on the same page on that,
Yeah, we're definitely on the same page on that. Loved ones who is taking it, you know, I'm concerned about them, is because you don't know what's in this crap. You don't even know if it is a vaccine. And then, of course, as I said, it came across information.
I'm telling you right now, it's these Jewish banking cartel bastards that are inventing this crap, and they want this, and they want the 80% of the entire planet dead, and their new world order set up right here in Israel. I'm telling you. You know, it's a fact.
Okay.
And the Roman Empire's
That could hold a lot of water. And then also, too, is that, like, another thing I want to mention with Hollywood is, because if you've listened to some of my previous podcasts, I have a standard statement that I say in regard to Hollywood. But, however, you got a lot of elitists there, and you have a lot of these missing children who are being adopted by them, if not downright abducted. You see what I'm saying? And that are being brutalized by these individuals. Now, before all you legalese assholes get out there and say, well, Shabaka, who you're talking about in particular, I'm speaking about the culture itself, okay, is because you're trying to normalize, you know, certain behavioral patterns. California has a sick-ass law, and that's one of the reasons I want to see Newsom arrested. Senate Bill 145 to allow an individual to go out here to violate a child as long as the predator is no more than 10 years old.
That's disgusting. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Okay.
Well, bestiality, Hollywood, you know, I mean, it promotes it.
It's
disgusting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Newsom belongs in jail for child endangerment for signing this shit.
Yeah.
The congressperson, I'm sorry, the state assembly person who introduced it from San Francisco belongs in jail. And all the assholes that sat up there and voted for it belong in jail. And they should be hooked up and taken ass right over there to San Quentin awaiting a death penalty.
I agree with you there.
Right,
hey, Shabak, I'm going to bring out another caller with us right there. I'm not going to mute you, but I just don't like to make people wait too long. I got three people on here. 606, go ahead. I'll bring you on. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on.
Thank you very much. Long-time listener, first-time caller. What I wanted to talk to you guys, well, you guys are really, really spitting some truth here, and I hope a lot of people are listening to this and opening up their eyes and their ears. But my question is, what is the end game with the whole pandemic and the vaccines, and what is the government – what's the end game? What are they wanting to get out of this in the end?
Well, their end game is basically they're going to have a downloadable app on your phone, and you're going to buy and they're going to have you there in place, and you're going to be told permission when to travel, when to work, and they're going to basically eliminate 80% of the population. That's what I believe. I played a whole series on this a couple weeks ago, actually, about what their end game goal is. It goes into long detail, so it'd be hard for me just to give you a blunt, straight answer in a matter of, like, 30 seconds on what it is. But it's to kill you, control you, and mark you. Let's put it that way. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about.
What's the population that they're wanting to kill?
They want a population of 500 million worldwide, a manageable population. That's on the Georgia Guidance. I mean, these elites actually, they worship this evil, and they believe that they're going to live forever with their eugenics program and their AI. They're going to introduce this AI program, and that's what they're doing, is they're a half-human, half-robot type of being out there. And they're going to be this super I guess, human that never gets sick, never dies. And that's what they believe. And I don't know who they talk to. If you believe in the devil, I don't know. You know, I'm just saying that they talk to this evil, and they have these rituals, and they really believe it. They drink blood. They drink the what's that stuff they were selling on Wall Street there, that court – what's it called there with the kids? Chewbacca, we talked about that. Oh, man, I forgot the name of it.
The Pizzagate scandal.
Yeah, and all that crap.
Yeah.
You know, but what do you think, in your opinion, what do you think they're trying to do here?
I mean, to me, it seems like they're trying to force us into this state of complete totalitarianism. If we want you to get a shot, you're going to get the shot, or you're going to lose your job. You're not going to be able to travel. You're not going to be able to go into certain places. You're not going to be able to get a driver's license, so you can't drive a car. You're not going to get to be able to. It is a totalitarian thing. And I mean, I know people who their employers are going to fire them if they don't get this vaccine. And we're talking about young, healthy people. We're not talking about people over the age of 60 who have, who are in poor health. We're talking about a young, adult, healthy men and women, and they're going to lose their job if they don't get this shot. That is beyond insane to me. And why is it so difficult to get straight answers out of the media or out of people like Dr. Fauci? What are the real statistics here? And I'm not talking about
those guys on poop streams.
But listen, the World Health Organization, I see 419, I'm going to bring you on next, okay, because I don't like to make people wait too long, like I said. You know, the global nightmare, the UN announces plan to forcibly inject the world. That's their plan, to inject the world. The UN, it's in their UN documents, it's there, okay? And the WHO just released a plan for global digital vaccine passports funded by who? Guess who? Bill Gates and the Rockefeller Foundation.
Right.
You know, so why are they pushing this so far and so wide? Because obviously they know it's no good for us, because they sure as hell don't want to do anything that's right for us. The tide is turning against a globalist worldwide new world order, and that's what they want. You know, they want this one world global government. They can't stand individual freedom. They can't stand individual liberty. They can't stand creativity. No matter who you are, white, black, whatever, they don't like it. They want you controlled. They believe that they believe that they can play God with you. And you know that. Look, what happens when people have money? They think they're better than you. They're in control. They're stuck up. You know, you heard that phrase when you were a kid, probably growing up. You know, they're rich, stuck up, you know? And they own everything. And they think they're in control of the world. And they control everything. And actually, they do. They do control everything. It's just that they micromanage us, and we just don't realize it, you know. And that's why it's so important to wake people up and to understand basically what's happening today. But we're losing the information war. That's for sure. Because you just said it yourself. Why is it so hard to get a straight answer or the truth? You know why?
Right.
It's terrible.
Right. It's prepackaged bullshit is what it is. Is to keep you confused and mess with my eyes. You know, they want to confuse you on your left side so they can hit you from the right side. And if anybody ever is familiar with the game of football, what is that? What they call the trap plays, where the offensive line goes in opposite direction of where the runner is going. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You see, it's just like in heavyweight boxing, when you look at the guys, you know, going in, bang each other up, then one cat switches southpaw. You see, so now he's jabbing with the right and crossing with the left. Same rule applies.
The thing of it is that what I'm trying to tell you is that they have this all figured out. And look, we know everything's figured out. You walk into the grocery store, you can't find a good deal because everything's marketed and figured out and studied all the way through. What else can we do here as a human population throughout the planet right now? Everything's figured out. We got the weapons that you push a button, they can blow up half the world. You know, I mean, they're in outer space zapping us. I mean, you know, it's like, how much farther can
indeed.
We become advanced? You know, I mean, it's just
exactly.
it's crazy. It's crazy. But so that now you ask the question of What's your spirituality? What do you believe in as an individual? What's your faith? What do you believe in? Where do you think you go when you die? You know, and you start getting into the religion and that type of argument. And then we know that's controlled, too, and that's meant to control us. So, you know, obviously there's a creator, but there's obviously a balance between good and evil here. So what's your conscience? I mean, your moral conscience, your moral compass always steers to what? What's really to do what is right? You know it's bad to do something, but you still do it sometimes because of peer pressure and whatnot. But in your conscience, you know it's right. And that's the good, you know, so we all have that good instinct in us, but we allow the evils around us and around the world to control us and to basically, influence us to do wrong. And that's why there's good people like you and me and everybody else out there that are trying to steer people to the right direction and stop doing bad and start learning the truth. Because the truth, one thing, truth is always the first victim in a war. Truth is always that first victim.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, you know, and everyone knows that. So it's just, that was a bloated question that you asked, but it's a good question. That you're right. What's the end game?
The end game, Joe, is genocide. Now, as we have stated here before on your podcast in the past, okay, it's because they was trying to come to Africa, you know, with this nanotechnology, this vaccines and what have you that they have always used in the last five centuries that I'm aware of off the research that I've done over an extended period of 25 years. Okay, now. The thing is that
hang on,
Carl,
I'll let you get back
out.
Go ahead, Chewbacca.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead. And I'm going to let the other caller, and I got another caller on the line.
Yeah, sure, by all means. Okay, but at the same token, though, is that they want to control all the resources right there. Now, Trump is going to call Africa a bunch of shithole countries, right? But, however, it's very interesting that the majority of your silicon, the majority of your bauxite, the majority of your diamonds, chrome, titanium, comes from these quote-unquote shithole countries. You see what I mean? It's because the economy
of North America. I thought you changed your mind on Trump,
Chewbacca.
I thought you changed your mind. I don't want to get into a conversation about Trump, but I thought you said Trump was, he wasn't that bad after all.
What I was saying about Trump was that, see, there's an old saying where I've come from, which is South Central LA, you never apologize for how you honestly feel. Trump got up there and said how he honestly feels. He's not a career politician. The research that I've done on the dude, he was donating his salary, and we'd be crumb-bumming on these Biden supporters, you know what I'm saying, is because my people are still looking for some tangibles for building this country, if not this whole hemisphere. You see what I mean? Later for Sleepy Joe. The man is incompetent. You see what I mean? And then...
Well,
I got to agree with you on. Yeah. And I myself...
606, you got something else you
want to
add here before
years.
I bring on another... I got a couple, few more people here want to jump in here.
606,
you want to add something else?
No, sir. I just thank you. I just wanted to thank you for taking my call, and I mean, God bless you both. And I'm glad that there's some people out there trying to, like you were saying, you know, the truth is always met with derision, with hatred. People tell me all the time, "You're being rude." Well, I'm sorry that you consider the truth to be rude, because I tell the truth and I'm very blunt and bold about it. And you
keep
know,
doing it, brother.
Amen.
Keep fighting.
Amen.
You know, keep doing it.
Amen.
I'll leave your mic open if you want to stay on. I know you might have to go. That I understand. That's fine. 509. I'm gonna bring 509 on and then a private caller. Go ahead, 509.
Hey, Joe. It's Eddie. How you doing?
All right, Eddie. How you doing?
I'm doing. I heard that previous caller, not the gentleman that was just on, but the one before him, talking about, you know, Africa and how a lot of people say it's a shithole country.
Yep.
That's because it is. Now, I'm not going to argue the fact that there are a lot of things that we have, you know, that are dispersed throughout the world, like he had mentioned, that come from these shithole countries. My point to what makes them a shithole country is the local inhabitants are too stupid to utilize the natural resources that they have to lift their entire country and society out of poverty. The biggest question I've asked for years is, how is Africa, one of the most fertile countries in the world as far as soil goes, have a famine problem?
It's simple, because of the neocolonialism. That's why.
Neocolonialism. Is that your answer for that?
Yeah, it's a fact. I mean, I've researched this stuff, man, for damn near 30 years, the majority of my life.
Okay, so if that's the case, then this is where the argument tends to fall apart. You say it's based on neocolonialism, but the mm-hmm. same thing happened here, and this isn't a shithole country, nor is it a third world country. You see my point?
Look,
so that
man,
argument
let me
doesn't
tell you
stand.
Something. Look, man, let me tell you something. With all these homeless people out here, man, living in the street, okay, it's on its way to being a third world country extremely fast. Now, let's look at something. You're getting ready to have all these people come over here from Afghanistan. It's going to bleed the resources on public assistance. They don't have to pay it back. They're going to get business loans. They're going to get new homes, all that. You see what I mean? But, however, when it comes to those, you know, who built this country off of free and slave labor, you see, you know, they're mocked. They're dismissed. You see, they're pre-programmed. Then when individuals such as myself, you know, come out here and speak the truth, which is against the popular version of what is truth, that I'm ridiculed, insulted, which I could really could care less about. Because I know that 2 + 2 = 4, not 5 and not 3. Now, me and Joe is in on agreement with this pandemic, scandemic, plandemic, mask, no mask, and all this bullshit, and then all of the resources are going up that people need to survive, such as food, shelter, all right, just like the moratorium that they put
well,
in on
you, well, you will agree on the Jewish point where the Jews are, you know, basically behind a lot of this. He said he does agree on that aspect, so, but you guys got a disagreement on the other aspect of the, you know, history of what really happened in Africa and whatnot, but that's understandable. I mean, you know, I mean, facts are facts. Truth is truth. I mean, we can discuss this, you know. I mean, that's fine.
Joe? I mean, the cradle of civilization is in Africa, Joe. What time in history are you speaking of? You know what I'm saying? It's because
well,
it
I know you and I have gone at it
center.
Many, many times in the past, Chewbacca,
oh, yeah.
where we talk about, you know, the slave trade and whatnot. And I said, listen, man, the Northwest African kings, we know they kidnapped their people and sold them. You know, and you guys, we kind of went back and forth on that, you remember, years ago. And but look, mm-hmm. I respect your position. I mean, you want to fight for your people. Hey, hats off to you, man. You know, I agree with you on that. I mean, I'm sure Eddie would, too. There's no problem fighting for your people. But, you know, but the fact of the matter is we kind of got to stick to the truth, you know, and the foundation of truth. And we got to look at the bigger picture first before we can even get to the level that we're talking about right now. Because you know what? Guess what? In the end, if we get rid of the real enemy that's really the head of the snake, guess what? All other problems are going to go away. Because guess what? You're going to go where you want to go, and we're going to go where we want to go. You know what I mean? That's how I see it. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know what your opinion is
okay.
on that, but you know, or Eddie's, but you know, I just think that's what
okay.
I believe.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. You know what I mean? That's fair. And then also too, looking here at the great state of California, or the not so great state, I should say. They set a lot of trends there, particularly down there in Los Angeles, Hollywood, and what have you, because everybody wants to bum
Jewish
us,
control,
Hollywood, oh,
Jewish control, Hollywood. The Jew, you know, brainwashing
is.
The people, you know, with their pornography,
mm-hmm.
their bestiality, their filth, you know, that because
oh,
you,
yeah.
you know, and most of them are all Jews. They control Hollywood. We know that, you know. So who's the
mm-hmm.
who is the enemy here that's really doing this? You know, that's what we got to look at. You know, who's putting this filth
okay,
in our homes every day? You know, who's controlling our money? Who's controlling our currency? Who's controlling the politics of this
exactly.
country? How many Jews are in
and
Biden's cabinet? You know.
Mm-hmm. And then look at Biden himself, you know, and then his situation is that he had been in Congress or the U.S. Senate for over 47 years. He had endorsed that massive crime bill or mass incarceration crime bill that Clinton had
yeah.
signed into law, and you still got a lot of innocent black people sitting
That's
in
true.
Jail behind
I lost
that.
Eddie dropped, actually, but Eddie was, I think Eddie was pretty much in agreement with you on some things, but then when you started, I think basically the slave thing he disagreed with you on. I'm not sure. I don't know. I can't speak for him, but I lost his call. Let me get to a private caller here. I don't know who this is. Hopefully it's the Sarge here. Hopefully. We'll see. Go ahead, private caller.
When you wish upon a star. What's up, man?
I knew it, man. I knew it. You know?
Hey,
I had to
look,
be for
man,
you, though. I got to take care of my
look,
people, you know?
yeah.
Look,
man,
who is that,
I
Sarge?
I want to speak to something else, but I got to respond to this issue, the shithole issue, because, I mean, the truth is the truth is the truth. And the truth of the matter is, these African countries today are not shitholes because of neocolonialism. Not today. They are shitholes because of tribalism, ethno-nationalistic rivalries, mainly corruption, and an inability to make all these varying groups coalesce along. There are about 6,000 different languages spoken in Africa, in all different countries in Africa.
8,000.
They've got the same 8,000 kind of problems that you had in many European states that were riven along ethnic lines, whether you talk about the Balkans, whether you, even if you talk about Germany. It was a bunch of bishoprics and principalities, and they couldn't coalesce along lines. Otto von Bismarck came along and got them together to be one nation. So this is nothing
okay.
new.
Until the National Socialism platform, until the National Socialism idea came into effect in Germany and made them great, and we can agree that National Socialism is what made Germany great.
Well, I think Germany was a great nation at the time of the Kaiser, in the time of the Franco-Prussian War when they defeated the French. I mean, they were a great nation then, because finally they got together and became one nation. These African countries got the same kind of problems they got in the Balkans and in Yugoslavia. That's why they're shitholes. And until they get rid of it and learn how to become a true nation state, accept the idea of the modern nation state, rather than first and foremost your loyalty is to your tribe, they're going to continue to be shitholes, just like a lot of them European countries were. That's the truth. It's not the truth.
Well, it's actually true. And, you know,
look, you got to remember, Europeans didn't go into sub-Saharan Africa until the late 19th century. I mean, and the colonial experiment with Africa and sub-Saharan Africa was largely over by the mid to late 1950s. That's a really relatively brief period of time to colonize them. Ask the Koreans about colonization or the Vietnamese about colonization. We're at last millennia. In Europe, it was a really short period of time. I am not going to believe.
National Socialism, though. National Socialism is a union of causes rather than aims, you know, and certainly the present form of government in Germany is unimaginable. I mean, I would say National Socialism is really, if you compare it to the ideals, if you look at the ideals of National Socialism, and I'm pretty much I believe that that's the only way we're going to fix things in this country is to promote that type of idea, party or type of belief and coincide with the Constitution and our Republic, because the Republic is dead. The Constitution's dead right now, Sarge. I mean, you even said it yourself. I mean, there's no saving this Republic. I mean, it's just going to – and if we do, it's only going to happen again. You know, I mean, because nobody's going to obey the Constitution. Greed will infiltrate.
What's happening in this country right now, you're hearing a lot of talk in a lot of places. It's nascent, to be sure. It's just starting, to be sure. But people are talking now about riveting this country along ethnic and regional lines. We're talking about breaking up this federalistic confederation we got. I'm not this federal system, and becoming a bunch of confederations. Because you're right, it is breaking. People are beginning to understand we cannot live with some people with the ideas they have.
That's right.
It's like antimatter. It simply cannot be done. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to try to predict it. I know what I'm seeing. I know what I'm hearing. And what I'm hearing is a likelihood of this country breaking up into a bunch of different regional states. I'm not saying it's going to be soon. I'm saying it might happen within, I don't know, 50 years, 75 years, but it looks like it's happening. We've got just irreconcilable fundamental differences that I don't think can be breached or broached.
Yeah, well, within weeks of taking office, Adolf Hitler was altering German life within a year. Joseph Goebbels, one of his top aides, could boast that the revolution matter of fact, this is one of his quotes right here, that the revolution that we have made is a total revolution. It encompasses every aspect of public life from the bottom up. We have replaced individuality with collective racial consciousness. you know, and the individual and the individual with the community. You know, we must develop the organizations in which every individual's entire life will be regulated by the vote community, and that's their, you know, as represented by the party. There is no longer arbitrary will. There are no longer any free realms in which the individual belongs to himself. The time of personal happiness is over, and that's a good point, because individuals are greedy. If you want as an individual, you're a greedy person. That's just how we are. It's human nature. So there has to be some sort of collective body to represent us, and all that I govern myself stuff. You remember, you've heard that, Sarge, on my show. People call in from the Republic. I govern myself. You know, and no, you don't. You know, because I don't want you doing what the hell you do, because you're offending me. You know, I mean, you know, and they don't get that. You know, because people don't have common sense to govern themselves. We are not that. We're just not that smart to govern ourselves. I think the Republic and the Constitution, of course, I believe in the Constitution. You know that, Sarge. I love the document, and I love our history of America. But it's broken so bad right now, it's not going to be fixed. Because there's too much damn corruption. There's too much greed. There's too much in capitalism by imperialism. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's the problem with, like I said, that's the problem with Africa more than anything else. Tribalism and corruption is it, more so than any neocolonialism or even colonialism.
Besides,
corruption and tribalism is what's killing it. And
Africa wants to comment, Sarge.
But you got to remember,
Sarge,
that Adolf Hitler had to deal with regional differences, too, and he had to recognize them, too. Remember that clip you guys play regularly on this show where you've got the men in the Arbeitsdienst, and they're up there saying where they're from and the regions they're from, the Saar, from Thule,
yeah,
from Beria,
yeah,
and all this other stuff. See, you're not able to phase out that ethnic distinction right away. You got to use it as a bridge in order to get to what he was getting to.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but go ahead, Shabaka. You want to make a comment?
Look, a Bavarian.
Hang on, Sarge.
Had very much differences with Prussians. They didn't like Prussians very much, and Prussians didn't like
Sarge,
them all.
I agree with you on that point, Sarge. Go ahead, Shabaka. You want to make a point? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first place, Africa is the cradle of civilization. Okay, it's because we've been through this here before, Joe. Okay, it's because at the time that the European was living in caves, Africans were performing brain surgery in a place called Kemet.
Shabaka, I got to disagree with you on that one, brother. I got to disagree with you on that one. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, Let me finish.
Yeah.
Let me finish my statement.
All right.
Okay, please. Okay. Okay, first place, you know, when the Greeks came down there, they started naming everything. When the barbarian came down there, okay, he started changing the names from the Hermocket to the Sphinx, to the from the Pinhens to the Obelisk, you see. And then ask yourself this, why is it you never heard of Socrates, Plato, or Aristotle until they went to Kemet? You never heard nothing about their lives while up there in Greece before they went to Kemet. And Egypt is a Greek word. You see, they went down there and started changing the name of the shit. They started stealing information, claiming it as their own. The ancient Comedians have given the world brain surgery, navigation, geometry, physics, and if you take the height of the Great Pyramid and multiply it by the base of it, it will give you the exact distance between the Earth and the Sun. You see?
Okay. We're getting into evolution there, I'm not an evolutionist. I don't believe in that evolution theory. That's one thing I will disagree with the World War II era people that will say, you know, evolution. I don't believe in Darwinism. I don't believe in that. I don't think that.
Neither do I. Yeah. But what I'm just simply studying off the research that I have done, you see, you know, you had ancient African civilizations or Comedian civilizations, okay? And one of them, believe it or not, is the University of Sankore at a place called Timbuktu in Mali. You know, that old expression, I'll kick your ass from here to Timbuktu, where there is such a place as Timbuktu. And it had multiple universities there where you even had the Greek scholars come down there. The Arabs tried to come in there when you read Ayikwe Kuru the 4,000 seasons. You see what I mean? So then, of course, it got invaded, you know, by the Muslims with the Trans-Saharan slave trade. Then, of course, the Europeans that came down there, the Portuguese, the Dutch, the British and the French there in that are on the last, but the first ones to come down there were the Portuguese, and we have done a show on Her Majesty Queen Nzinga of Mutamba, who fought the Portuguese all her adult life from the time that she was 18 until she was 80. It is now known as modern-day Angola, but they come down there renaming shit, claiming it, you know, as their own. When in actuality,
well, science continues to do that, you know, and really, I don't want to distract the conversation from here and now, because here and now, you know, we can, listen, you can take your history and go over here in your corner, and I can take mine and go over here, and we're never going to agree, okay? But that's not going to fix the problems today we face. That's not going to fix, attack these bankers that are destroying our country, destroying our planet, that are taking, that want to shoot us up with this COVID. I mean, and those of you just tuned into the podcast here show, I interviewed one of the representatives from Arizona, representatives there in the Phoenix area there, and from the state of Oregon. We have a broken system here that where nobody can tell the truth. And that was one of the first callers that called in, Shabaka. He said, why can't you get to the truth? Why can't these people answer your darn question? You know? And that's the problem. Deception. Our hearts are wax cold. We don't want to listen to reason. We're all willing to bite each other's head off instead of attacking the real enemy, the people that are pulling the puppet strings, trying to control us every single day, take away our freedoms, take away the good that we do are, because, listen, I believe all people are good, and they have a right to do what they want to do, and have a right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But we got this evil sector out there, you know, these banker elite, endemic bankers that are just destroying us and wanting to control us, and their end game goal is to eliminate 80% of the Earth's population. And that means you and I are gone. And you know what? I don't like
that.
And you know what? I'm willing to fight and stand up, fight, you know?
Hey, man, what are you going to do? You're going to die on your feet or live on your knees. Now, get this.
That's right.
Okay, now let's look at Jeff Bezos, okay? This son of a bitch is worth $250 billion, right? Okay, so what this clown does, he decides he wants to go up in outer space. The same thing with the other guy who has got Virgin Mobile or whatever. Every last one of them cats belong in fucking jail, man. Excuse my language, okay?
I know. You had to get the F word in there on me. I know you did. You were just waiting to do that. I know. Amazon, Jeff Bezos, I know. He's not a good guy.
You see what I mean? And then on top of it as well, on the truth as well, too, that I might add, because I'm getting ready to start my show in about 45 minutes. That there's just too much wealth for one person to have. $250 billion. Man, you couldn't spend that in five lifetimes.
Well, you know, how he got it is what bothers me. You know what? If someone wants to get out there and work for it, you're right. You know what? But you're right. You couldn't earn that on your own. He had to steal and control and monopolize to get
exploit.
It. Because no one's going to make $250 billion. Dollars. There's
and
no
worst
way
of all,
get
help from the government to do it.
Yeah, incentives, yeah.
The money, but that he would use the government to stifle his competition.
Exactly. Yeah. And I take charge. Years ago, in 2019, I did a show on Amazon. I called Amazon three nights in a row on this podcast. I talked to the Philippines, all over the world, and to get a simple answer. And I exposed that company for what it was. And that's just what they are. You know, they're a corrupt criminal organization, a company. They're a cartel, like the bankers. You know, they monopolize the money, and they control it. And the thing of it is, nobody's listening.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to listen. Nobody cares.
And then when they got with these high-tech social media platforms, and we have never seen a recipe for tyranny like we're seeing now, and it's being carried out. And what's really so insidious about it is that it's being carried out with the help of private contractors working on behalf of the government.
Yeah. Well,
what's
happening
so
in Afghanistan is a shame, it's a travesty, and it's disgusting. Okay, you know, it's quite self-evident that what has happened is Joe Biden obviously is incompetent, and he needs to not be president any longer.
The Chinese are calling in their chips, man. Remember what I told you? They're calling in their chips. They've got the goods on the Biden family corruption.
Beyond what we know
from the existing investigations and crackhead Hunter's laptops. They're calling in Egypt.
He's going to turn over
Afghanistan to the Chinese so they can get a monopoly on the resources necessary to build the world's batteries for electrical vehicles.
Well, one caller asked us what the predictions are and what the New World Order plan is. You know, and we're getting, Los Angeles is in this too. You know, Shabaka, I know you may have to go, so go ahead. If you want to give a closing thought here real quick, because you've got to go, but I'm going to carry on with the podcast. You said you may have to go, so if you want to say something real quick, go ahead.
Okay, all right, I just want to just say this right here, is that the scandemic, pandemic, or whatever what the hell it is, man, hey, like I said, what are you going to do? You're going to live on your knees or you're going to die on your feet? You see, that's basically what the choice is coming down to. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then on top of it, you know, these world markets are being manipulated, okay? The weather is being manipulated, you know what I'm saying? Look at California. Half the damn state is on fire. You see what I mean? And the Colorado River, half of it is dried up already. You see, so that goes to definitely tell you, you know, that something is definitely going on with the natural resources being manipulated. You see what I mean? And this is why I advocate my people, as I've always stated, to become self-sufficient. Is because, you see, since the whole time that we've been here in this hemisphere, we have never been self-sufficient. And those who had advocated as such, it either came up dead or imprisoned or impoverished.
That's right.
Yeah, but
so, well, I'll tell you what. We had a caller. Yeah, go ahead, Sarge. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm not ending the show, Sarge. I just wanted to address what the...
Joe,
let's
not despair too much, Joe, because humanity's been through worse. Actually, if you want to... We're not saying that what's coming might not be worse than anything that's happened before, but humanity's been worse the worse we got through it. What's dangerous today more so than at any other time? Is that it's never been this easy to consolidate power and influence for purposes of tyranny. That's what's so dangerous about today. Not that the conditions are worse than in times past, like the Great Plague or the Mongol invasions or the World Wars or the Great Depression. And we've been the worst. But and like I said, again, I like to stress this. What's coming may be worse than anything before. But what the main thing we got to keep remembering, there has never been a time in history where it is so easy to consolidate power and influence through high technology. That's what's so dangerous.
Well, this is their plan,
right,
Sarge.
Technology is dangerous.
Well, you're absolutely right, but let me play this. The first caller that actually called into the podcast, he said, what's their end game goal? That's what his question was, you know, and I danced around the question a little bit, but I tried to give him the best answer I could. The globalist depopulation plan is there, and that's one of their main goals. I'll play about 4 or 5 minutes of this, and then I'll take new callers, 657-383-0616. And anybody out there, how does God play into this, the end, you know, and whatnot? Because I know there's people out there that say, hey, you know, we're not going to be here anyway. You know, everything's going to be all done. But people ain't buying into that. You know, they're saying, like Sarge just said, you know, humanity's been through worse. So I'll play this right here real quick, and we'll go from there.
This is a war. It's the responsibility of parents to shield their children from the bullets and the gunfire.
This is a civilization-level design collapse in their own words. This is, you're right, this is, we're in the middle of a giant war. All that matters is winning this war right now.
That's right. That's the way that I see it, because, again, there are too many people sending their own children into the slaughterhouse, so to speak, and as it's been said on your show, I'm sure a million times, by the time you smell the blood of the sheep in front of you, it's too late.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Pfizer will pay $2.3 billion in civil and criminal fines. The criminal fine, nearly $1.2 billion, is the single largest fine in U.S. history. The U.S. government will also supervise Pfizer's behavior for the next 5 years.
17-year-old Shamsu undergoes a DNA test to prove he's a victim of a failed drug trial by the pharmaceutical company Pfizer that happened 15 years ago in Kano State, Nigeria. 11 children were killed and several more injured when Pfizer tested out a drug called Trovan on 200 children. The drug was supposed to treat a deadly regional outbreak of meningitis. Pfizer agreed to pay $75 million in compensation in 2009.
Have you taken the vaccine, sir?
No, I haven't taken it yet, and we are having an ethical committee dealing with the question of who is getting it.
So they're going to plan on getting FDA approval for the COVID vaccine next week so they can try to push all these mandates on everybody, because they're going to tell you how safe and effective it is. Well, guess how they did it? They got a woman named Janet Woodcock, who is the chief for the Center of Drug Evaluation Research, and they put her as the acting head of the FDA to give her the approval status. And this woman is personally responsible for approving both OxyContin, which is causing a friggin' epidemic, and fentanyl, the two most dangerous drugs on the market today, that got approved by this woman, Janet Woodcock, who is now going to be approving our COVID vaccines so they can push everybody with mandates.
This would tip businesses and colleges to consider mandating the vaccine once it gets full approval. Would you urge them to do that?
I think that's a very reasonable thing to do.
The FDA has now granted full approval of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, making it the first COVID vaccine to transition from emergency authorization status to full FDA approval.
This is a game-changing moment. We've been waiting for this for a long time. To have the full approval vaccine, we now have it. This helps us move forward, and we're moving forward with our schools with this new vaccine mandate.
After a strict process, the FDA has reaffirmed its findings that the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine is safe and effective, and the FDA has given its full and final approval. So let me say this loudly and clearly. If you're one of the millions of Americans who said that they will not get the shot until it has full and final approval of the FDA, it has now happened. The moment you've been waiting for is here. It's time for you to go get your vaccination. Get it today. Today I'm calling on more companies, I should say, in the private sector to step up with vaccine requirements that will reach millions more people. If you're a business leader, a nonprofit leader, a state or local leader who has been waiting for full FDA approval to require vaccinations, I call on you now to do that. Require it. Do what I did last month. Require your employees to get vaccinated or face strict requirements.
So right out of the federal government's own numbers, daily report trends, Romania. How do we explain the situation in Romania? 25% of the population vaccinated, cases and deaths plummeting to basically zero, or the lowest in the world. Same thing in Australia. They got 27% taking the vaccine. No one is in the hospital now that is unvaccinated. Now, what's happening in the most vaccinated state in the United States? Current hospitalizations, Hawaii. You see the mask mandate, the inoculations all starting right here. And what happens right when they start the shots? Hospitalization spike. But it takes a while for the mutations to grow and to get out into the population. And then suddenly, look at that spike. Millions in France, millions in Australia, overrunning the police, overrunning the shopping malls, the grocery stores, saying no to the COVID checkpoints, saying they know it's the Great Reset. They're chanting jail Fauci, jail Schwab, all over the world, because they are bringing in an authoritarian regime and building death camps. Not gonna sit here and take it anymore.
All right, everybody. Joseph Gibson, understand the times we're today. Basically, that breaks it down right there. You know, they have their agenda. They have their plan. They got Biden there. I'm a Biden. I'm, hey, boy, if you pay attention to what he's saying, what a freaking goon. What an idiot, huh? You got to be ashamed of yourself if you voted for him. If you voted for him, you got to be ashamed of yourself. I mean, well, how many votes do you think Biden really got? They say 80 million. I think about 80.
He got more than 5 million. I think he got more than 65 million. I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, we said it before, right, Sarge? Common sense. We were talking about this in the beginning of the show, common sense, right? Look, if I show up to a rally and I have 65,000 people at my rally, right, in Pennsylvania, and then my guy that's running against me shows up and he's got maybe 15 people there, you're going to tell me that he won?
Yeah, and this happened over and over and over and over and over
and over and over and over,
again.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, by the way, Joe,
yeah.
You guys talking about Adolf Hitler and Mein Kampf so much, you made me dig up my copy of Mein Kampf I had in the trunk when I moved, and I didn't know where it was. I finally found it. And what you were just talking about a little while ago, I'd like to refer you to Chapter 10 of Mein Kampf, where he talks about federalism is a mask, and he talks about a unified Germany versus a federated Germany, and you might find it kind of interesting. Again, it's Chapter 10.
Okay. I don't have it in front of me, but, but if you want to give me a little couple excerpts, if you want. I mean, I would save that for the NSM platform if I were you, but what's your point? I mean, are you saying that, I mean,
well,
if you got, I mean, if you, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Go ahead.
He recognized all these regional distinctions and how the what really formed Germany. I'm giving a very nutshell look at this from his point of view. But what he believes is that the German nation came into being primarily through the dynamism of Prussia and embodied in Bismarck, who was a Prussian. And he said that all these states squabbling and all the other things they did, they had to be formed into one unified state through will. And with, like I said, it was embodied in the form of Bismarck. Like, it's kind of interesting when you read what he says about it. You know, like, let Bavaria fight against Prussia and Prussia against Bavaria as much as they wanted, the more the better. The hottest struggle between the two meant the securest peace for a Jew. Okay. I mean, leaving aside what he said about the Jews, still he was noticing and taking into account all of these, squabbles between these various states in Germany, the principalities and regions and all that other stuff.
Yeah, okay. Well, the propaganda machine, you got to remember, look, a lot of things happened at the time. Everybody was happy there in Germany, right? I'm reading something right now. I'm looking at it. And you see, they say after the war, I dug back and looked at this. Yeah, well, after the war, how could you look back at any archives after the war? We know what happened after the war. The damn communists were over there raping and killing women, burning children at the stake, imprisoning men in death camps. I mean, but that's never talked about. But you mentioned Auschwitz, man. It hits a nerve, I mean, it's like, so, what's the truth? I wasn't there. I didn't live it. I can only go by what history reads and tells. And I can tell you right now, though, but the form of government that they did have was not that bad. I mean, it really does fix the individual collectivism of the individual and takes away the greed part. I mean, I really believe that's good. But I also believe in the Constitution. You know that. The new national government, like, for instance, I'm going to read this. The new national government will consider its first and supreme duty to restore our nation's unity of will and spirit. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? How many times do you see the American Washington, D.C. corporate machine that said they want to talk about, instead of saying amen, a woman? It's a broken, we have this, we're broken here in America, and America's finished. It's just a simple fact.
Well, John, I know when
America,
I was going to school, we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance every day we went to school. Every day. And
yeah.
It was kind of comforting to say it the way we said it. And we sang the national anthem every day
That's right.
I went to school. And no
brainwashed. Yeah. And that wasn't brainwashing. You just had unity amongst your, it was the country thing. A country thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. Today you don't have any country thing. Now you got football players that kneel down. And they make the majority of the news in the morning because they kneel down. A bunch of idiot football players.
I got a video of Joe Biden saying there's nothing special about being an American. I got a video of it. He said in 2015.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get one right here. Yeah, I'm trying to get something here about Biden with Afghanistan. They're calling for him to step down. And I think this is going to – I think really – I've already said this. I think they will step – I don't think he'll be president right before the midterms. I think they'll take him out of their 25th Amendment. I just don't see it. How could he last? I mean, they're probably – I mean, military leaders and families and Republicans call for Biden to resign as he – as his he's hours late to press conference, watch live. He's hours late to a press conference right there in his own house, the White House. You know, I mean –
they
got to
drug him up, man. They got to get him, gotta get his mind halfway, the synapses halfway firing correctly. It takes a little while.
Crazy. American flags pastored throughout campus after anti-flag teacher is booted. Two senior FDA officials stepping down over reported disagreements with White House. Facebook, Instagram, blacklist account of mother of slain, Marina Kareem Nakui, I think that's how you say it. Biden National Security Advisor says U.S. may give economic aid to Taliban. How about that? What do you think about that, Sarge? What's that say to the veterans over there, veterans that fought and died for this country?
Hey,
huh?
You better outbid the Chinese. I bet you the Chinese are ready to give them a lot more. They want to control Afghanistan so they can have a monopoly on raw earth minerals. They've got most of them in China. China, Russia, and Afghanistan, I think, are the three biggest sources for what they're going to need to make all these batteries.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Sarge, what do you guys say as being a veteran and whatnot of the military equipment left behind to the enemy? The U.S. left more than $80 billion worth of equipment.
Okay.
$80 billion.
I want to say this. I want the same gun rights as the Taliban's got. Give me the same gun rights they got. Give me free M4s with no restrictions. Number two, I'd like to tell Joe Biden that I didn't see the Taliban take Afghanistan with any F-15s or nuclear weapons. They had small arms, light mortars, technicals with heavy machine guns in the back, and that's about it, and a few RPGs. And
Joe
they took the whole damn country against the mightiest country in the world, and they actually had us leaving the country. No F-15s, no nuclear weapons. I just like Joe Biden and all his ilk out there to take note of that. Because remember what he told
us? Well, I should have asked the representative that.
About opposing the United States because we ain't got F-15s and nuclear weapons.
Yeah, I should have asked the representative that question, actually, when I had her on the phone about that. But then she would say, well, that's not concerning our district. You know, everything's her district, you know.
I mean, I got called up for Operation Iraqi Freedom. They called up my National Guard unit for that. So I got called up for that, even though I didn't go up to Afghanistan. Still, the idea is that, once again, you got all these guys that went over there and did these multiple tours of duty. Think about it. We got guys who did 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 tours of duty in Afghanistan.
Sad.
And for what?
Sad, man.
For what?
For what?
All the time they lost with their families, all the pieces of themselves they lost, either mentally or physically or both, all of that blood, treasure, and effort, all of that other stuff, I mean, all of it. And here this senile old goat can't even put together a dignified plan to withdraw the United States.
Why couldn't Trump get out of there quicker, though, Sarge? Why couldn't Trump get out of there quicker? Why couldn't he? You know, I mean, I'm not trying to put it on Trump. I'm just saying he had a Republican Congress. He had a Republican Senate.
Because remember,
you know,
conditions changed. Remember, his agreement with the Taliban was conditional. In fact, it was reported as such in the Associated Press. The Associated Press in March of 2020, here's what they said. This is the AP. First of all, the BBC, and then the AP. This is what these two papers said, neither of whom are Trump-friendly. The BBC said this. The United States military has conducted an airstrike against Taliban fighters in Afghanistan hours after President Trump said that he had a, quote, very good talk, unquote, with leaders of the group. A United States Forces spokesman said that it launched an airstrike on Wednesday in response to Taliban fighters attacking Afghan forces in Helmand province. And guess what? Right after that happened, they came back to the table with President Trump and asked for de-escalation because he heard them. Now, this is from August 19th from the AP.
Wow.
Here's the headline from the AP. Was Biden handcuffed by Trump's Taliban deal in Doha? That's Doha, Qatar. This is from the article. U.S. officials made it clear at that time. time that the agreement was conditional in the failure of intra-Afghan peace talks to reach a negotiated settlement would have nullified the requirement for the United States to withdraw. That's right from those two articles last year. Both of those articles written last year. Conditions change. So the president being flexible, he was like Richard Nixon. You know, when the North Vietnamese didn't want to come back to the negotiating table, that's when he said gloves are off. He had launched Operation Linebacker 2. He mined Haiphong, Haiphong Harbor. He cut loose the B-52s. The North Vietnamese used all their surface-to-air missiles up trying to shoot them down. They failed for the most part. And guess what? They were prostrate beneath the might of the United States. At that point, they came back to the negotiating table to cut the deal they later violated 3 years later. Power is what makes these people respect you, and Donald Trump had the respect of the Taliban. They knew he was serious. See, Trump invites weakness, invites what the Taliban did. Everything about that agreement that the Taliban signed with Donald Trump was conditional. If you violate any of the agreements, if you don't recognize the Afghan government, we're coming back to hurt your ass. He made it clear as a bell. General Kellogg was in the meeting with him, as were many others, and all of them attested to this, that he made it crystal clear, and in fact, he carried out his threat when they violated terms of the agreement.
Yeah. I mean, New Orleans plunges into darkness after Hurricane Ida leaves city with no power. So we got the chaos down there in New Orleans there, Sin City. The entire city of New Orleans in Louisiana was plunged into darkness after power went out in the city due to Hurricane Ida, which is feared may become one of the strongest storms to hit the state since the 1850s. Matt and Katrina. You know, eerie footage from the high rise in downtown New Orleans posted by the Washington Post national correspondent Tim Craig shows dim lights flickering into some of the windows. What's going on down there? I guess they got hit pretty hard. That's what they should be used to it. I mean, it's every year. All you hear about is New Orleans getting hit.
It's
going to
be without power in some of the regions for a month or more, Joe. No electrical power.
Yeah.
Think about it. They're back in the 19th century, huh? If you ain't got a generator, you ain't got no electricity. If you need to keep your diabetes medicine refrigerated, you ain't got no refrigeration unless you find somebody that's got it. They got alligators running around tearing people off. Pissed off alligators and cottonmouth snakes and whatnot in the water because they're dislocated and they're agitated and pissed off.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane, but let's do something for the people there in Afghanistan. This was a big, ridiculous here. What has happened here with Afghanistan and the people over there that fought for, supposedly our freedom. So,
2011, a man proud of his service and sacrifice on behalf of Americans and Afghans. 2021. Don't trust current U.S. political and military leaders. We all know who he's talking about there. And then today, don't want my kids to take the path I once believed in. What does that mean to you? Tell you what it sounds like it means to him. Our military is no longer our military. Here's Shayna Chappelle. Joe Biden, this message is for you. I know my face is etched into your brain. I was able to look you straight in the eyes yesterday, and I have words with you. After I lay my son to rest, you will be seeing me again. Remember, I am the one who stood 5 inches from your face and was letting you know I would never get to hug my son again, hear his laugh, and then you tried to interrupt me and give your own sob story, and I had to tell you that this isn't about you, so don't make it about you. You then said you just wanted me to know that you know how I feel, and I let you know that you don't know how I feel. And you do not have the right to tell me you know how I feel. You then rolled your effing eyes in your head like you were annoyed with me, and I let you know that the only reason I was talking to you was out of respect for my son, and that was the only reason why. I then proceeded to tell you again how you took my son away from me and how I will never get to hug him, kiss him, laugh with him again, etc. You turned to walk away, and I let you know my son's blood was on your hands, and you threw your hand up behind you as you walked away from me, like you were saying, okay, whatever. You are not the president of the United States of America, Biden. Cheating isn't winning. You are no leader of any kind. You are a weak human being and a traitor. You turned your back on my son, on all of our heroes. You are leaving the White House one way or another because you do not belong there. My son's blood is on your hands. All 13 of them, their blood is on your hands. If my President Trump was in his rightful seat, then my son and other heroes would still be alive. You will be seeing me again very soon. By the way, as my son and the rest of our fallen heroes were being taken off the plane yesterday, I watched you disrespect us all 5 different times by checking your watch. What the F was so important that you had to keep looking at your watch? You are nobody special, Biden. America hates you. That's from Shayna Chappelle, mother of one of the slain Marines in the suicide bombing. And it was that post that got her banned from Facebook and Instagram. She's not the only one speaking out. Mother of Marine killed in Kabul says Biden Democrats just killed my son. And I'm going to play her entire phone call. She called into the Sirius XM Wilco Majority Show. This phone call is going to make you mad, tug at your heartstrings, everything. I'm going to play the full phone call coming up. And this headline was highlighted a little bit in the post I just read. Family of dead Marine walk out on Joe Biden, says he only talked about himself and his son during their meeting. I've got more news coming out about this that I want to get to coming up. But let's go back to Psaki. Let's see if she's talking about Afghanistan or still flubbing her mouth off about, you know, some stimulus payment.
Closely. Go ahead, Jeff.
The president said in his remarks just a short time ago that in April, a deadline was set for August 31st. In fact, in his April remarks, he set a deadline for September 11th. So what changed over these last few months between the August 31st deadline and the September 11th initial deadline? Was that a deadline agreed to, a new time frame agreed to by the Taliban or suggested by them or by this administration, or what's the discrepancy there?
The military gave their assessment that they needed 120 days to wind down our presence in Afghanistan. So we abided by that.
That's a lie. In the April speech, the Taliban made that date. Was the date. The August 31st date just arrived between April and now.
And he bases strategic decisions, tactical decisions, I should say, on the advice of the military and commanders.
This is incredible. Folks, you understand. This is why that lieutenant colonel got fired, because he said specifically that this was a lie, that no members of the military, nobody advised Biden to change that. That was all the Taliban that set that date, not Biden. And no members of the military are claiming responsibility for abandoning the Bagram Air Force Base. Now, that could be because they don't want it, or it could be because Biden made the decision or someone else made the decision on their own. So let's just go back.
Countries around the world, the UN Security Council and others, that the Taliban will abide by what they committed to last Friday, which is the ability of people to leave Afghanistan should they choose to leave. There do need to be ongoing diplomatic negotiations or discussions, I should say. That's a part of what the Secretary of State and his team will be leading. But
so the war isn't over in Afghanistan. They technically still have hostages that we're trusting the Taliban is going to let leave.
World have conveyed clearly what they expect, and the UN Security Council signed a resolution yesterday.
Yeah.
So those are the diplomatic pieces that have moved forward, but this will be a top priority in the days ahead.
So the war's not over, so that's a lie, because we're still negotiating getting Americans out. So technically the war's not even over, actually. And by the way, this is what she's talking about here, and Secretary of State Anthony Blinken made a comment. The Taliban must earn international legitimacy and support.
Yeah, they must earn... The Taliban. Imagine that, huh? I tell you what, the Biden administration, I mean, the Afghanistan thing, I mean, how many saw this coming? I mean, how many did you saw this coming? I mean, you know, I mean,
when
really.
When Biden started talking, man, I knew he was lying. I didn't know it was going to be this bad, but I knew something bad was coming. Are you aware, have you heard the reports that people are saying that the Taliban offered to give control of the airport and the environs leading to the airport? They were going to give them to the control of the United States Armed Forces, but that Joe Biden said, no, we'll trust you to take care of the situation. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm looking more into it, but it doesn't sound like it's impossible for it to have happened. And now I'm also hearing that they left behind 51 service dogs. Do you know what the Taliban are going to do to these poor animals?
Animal rights groups. They, you know, they
you
got a big voice out here.
You know animals?
That?
They hate dogs anyway, and these dogs help to kill hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Man,
no, I agree, but I
and murder these
I agree.
Poor animals. They left
yeah,
them.
And they will, too. The Taliban, they'll eat them.
Loyally serving dogs.
Yeah. Well, we know the Taliban. They're—I mean—they're just filthy animals. They're, I mean, these Taliban people. I mean, they don't shower.
Dogs.
They live in caves, you know.
Remember, these dogs help our military effort.
Oh, I got you. Yeah,
they
I got
a triple
point. You
reason
know.
To hate these particular dogs.
Sarge, give us the closing thoughts to tonight's podcast. Anybody else who wants to chip in here on closing thoughts to tonight's podcast?
Well,
here,
I'll tell you.
We did a wild
so,
one here tonight.
So,
man.
Well,
phone lines
are
full and everything.
Said, You asked the question, how bad can it get? I, you know, even though I said, you know, what's coming might not be as bad as what has happened in the past, I'm perfectly of the opinion that it could be worse. I don't know how bad it can get. I only see it getting worse day by day. So all I got to say is hunker down, keep your powder dry, and be ready to go and when the balloon goes up. Because you ain't going to have too many things going to be forced on you, whether you want them to or not. These people are ruthless, and they don't seem to know any bounds.
I'll tell you what, it's corruption. It's corruption. I had a conversation earlier on today with people. You know, I said, burn it down. Just get rid of it. And they're like, no, it's a good system. It's a good system. You can't have a good system loaded with bad people, though. You know, so how do you change it? What do you got to do to change the system? You know, what do you got to do to change the people within the system? How do you do it? I mean, you're shouting. We're shouting at the top of our lungs here. I mean, maybe it's just all gone downhill, and it's just going to end up that way here, and not for too long. I mean, I don't know. I don't see any fight. I don't see any reason to fight for anything. In this, you know, I just don't see it. I mean, it's just sit back and let it go. You know, but my closing thoughts, I'll wrap up here, but it's about 2 minutes long here. I'll wrap it up. Anybody else here you want to chip in here, do it now in this 2 minute here, a clip that I'm going to play, and then if not, I'm going to wrap up the podcast. God bless the Republic, and I want to say hello to Dr. Peter Ventura, who's traveling up the East Coast there. Hopefully he's not hitting no bad weather, and he's in his car driving right now, so hopefully he's safe. Hopefully he listened in tonight. I don't know. Everybody, if you want to tune in, chip in, press number one now. Now I'm going to wrap up the podcast with this.
No weapons of mass destruction were found.
Are you kidding me? Do you buy that? There were.
I was 5 and he was 6. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white.
Come on, let us shoot. Blair. Quark.
Hey, I need to get the brass to drop ramps. I got a wounded girl. We need to take the rest of mine.
Oh, it's their fault for bringing their kids to a battle.
That's right.
The main reason we went into Iraq at the time was we thought he had weapons of mass destruction. It turns out he didn't, but he had the capacity to make weapons of mass destruction. But I also talked about the human suffering in Iraq.
Hello, boys and girls. I have a special message for you from the President of the United States. I salute the boys and girls who are buying United States savings stamps and bonds, and they're giving important support to the cause of freedom and the men who fight for us in Vietnam.
Congress gave us this authority in August 1964 to do whatever may be necessary. That's pretty far-reaching. That's the sky's the limit.
As an American citizen, you have to respect our president, whether I like it or not. It's really not my decision, but I do respect my president, and I will support whatever decision he makes.
Music played and people sang. Just for me, the church bells rang.
It is a hard fact that U.S. strikes have resulted in civilian casualties.
Don't know why, and till this day sometimes I cry. He didn't even say goodbye, he didn't take the time to lie.
The United States knows that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction.
One of the first things they told me was, you're not even to acknowledge the drone program. You're not even to discuss that it exists.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply. That reply is...
Crashing through the lies and disinformation.